Amen. This morning we're going to continue our series. I guess you could say it's our theme for 2012, and that's the riches of God's grace. God is so good to us, and the moment we're saved, He blesses us with so many, I guess you say different, we've titled them riches, but so many different things that He gives to us immediately upon being saved. And so this year, we're going to look at one a month, and really, I hope and pray, not only focus on it, learn more about it, but be encouraged by what God has given to each of us. This morning, if you have your Bibles, if you'd please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And today we're going to talk about adoption. That's what we're going to talk about. You know, people that adopt children in our society today are respected and I think even admired. And rightly so, when they adopt a child, because they reach out to those without their natural family and they bring them into their lives to give them a family, to love them and to care for them and to raise them and to help them and to watch out for them. They offer them a family and all that comes with that. And so it really is an act of grace when you think about adoption. It's an act of grace because they give to those who cannot receive of themselves. What I mean by that is when you adopt someone, you're reaching out to them, and in most cases, they're not looking for your help or for that family's help. But the family reaches out an act of grace to help them out and to care for them. And often, those that are adopted, I don't think they realize the blessings until later in life when they matured, when they look back and they begin to realize how much love went into that process and to bring them into their family. Well, today we're going to talk about God's adoption of believers. How God has, as the Bible will tell us here in a minute, given us the spirit of adoption. Not only has He saved our soul, but He's brought us into His family. And it's one of the riches of God's grace is what it is. It's a blessing that each believer receives the moment that they are saved. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin reading this morning. And verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Dear Lord, we come to You this morning. I thank You for the blessings that You've given to us. And as we begin to look at this subject of adoption from this passage, I pray that You can open up our eyes and our hearts to Your Word today. And I pray this morning as we look at this, I pray that You give us a good understanding, of course, from Your Word on adoption. But I also pray this morning, Lord, that You work in our hearts. For those here that are saved, have put their faith in You, I pray that this will be just another reminder to them of how good You are and how much You've given unto them. And if there should be someone here this morning that's not saved or has never had an interest in salvation, I pray today will be the day that they'll consider this passage and consider the teaching that You have here. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I believe that those that are saved have been adopted into God's family. And I believe they immediately enjoy God's blessings. And over the next few minutes, I'm going to try to, I don't know if I'm going to say prove that or show that to you from the Scriptures, that God has given them the blessings that come with being in His family. There are three thoughts that we'll have this morning from this passage. The first one is that we are adopted, or believers are adopted, into a new family. A new family. You see, believers are God's children by birth, spiritual birth. In our society today, adoption basically is the means for an outsider to become the member of a family. It's a legal way to make a father and child relationship where one does not already exist, basically. Now, someone who's adopted may have a dad or a mom, but perhaps the dad or mom is some cases, they're no longer living. Some cases, they don't know who they are or where they are. And each case is different. But basically, when someone adopts a child, they're developing a relationship or putting a relationship in place that's not there between a father and a child or a mother and a child. But adoption concerning God and a believer is just a little bit different. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3, because I do want to show you that there is a little bit of a difference between the relationship as far as adopting today in our society and God's adoption of believers. And I want to begin in John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old?" Now, that's a good question, a valid question. He says there, "Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," he says, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You see, the difference, I think, between adoption in our society, so to speak, and then and God adopting, the relationship we have with God the Father, is that the believer is born into the family of God. What I mean by that, we're not adopted into God's family. God did not adopt us and bring us in. We are born into the family of God. We're given a new life. As we see there, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There has to be a change. There has to be a new life. As we'll see here in a minute, adoption is the effect of that new life that God has given us, all those things that He's given unto us. So the believer is born into the family of God. Upon salvation, when someone is saved, there is a change that takes place and they're given a new life. And I'm going to give you two passages that will verify this. Titus chapter 3. We can turn there or you can put this down in your notes. Encourage you to read it later if you do so. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." You see, the Holy Ghost is the one who not only washes the heart, but regenerates, gives it new life. And so if you're saved here this morning, God has given you a new life. You're born into the family of God. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. There it talks about the new life that we have. Actually, let's just turn over so I don't misquote this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says there in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says there, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So, the moment you are saved, now this morning, you're here and you're saved, I encourage you to think back to the moment you were saved. I imagine you can look back and some people were saved in church. Some people were saved after Sunday school class. Some people were saved at home. There are instances where people were saved in their car. The Holy Spirit grabbed hold of them, they pulled over, and they trusted Christ as their Savior. See, salvation can be settled anywhere. But think back to the moment you were saved. You see, the moment you were saved is the moment that your life changed. That the Holy Spirit regenerated your heart, gave you a new life. It gave you a new heart, so to speak, and you were, as the Bible terms it, you were born again. As Nicodemus was told that he had to be born again. And so, on that day or at that moment, you were saved, given a new life. I also want to just put this out there here this morning. If you're here, and if you can look back at your life, and you can say, or I guess they'd be honest, if someone is here and they look back at their life, and you can perhaps look and see and say, you know, really, there's no time that I ever got that settled. You see, being saved is not being in church. Being saved is not being good. Being saved is coming to God through Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, trusting in Christ as your Savior. There are a lot of people this morning who are not saved. They're good people as far as the world's concerned. I believe I would never question their motives or their heart. But because they've never come to God through Jesus Christ, they remain in their sins. Make sure this morning that you're saved. And if you look back at your life and there's never been a moment where you've come to God or went to God and trusted in Him as your Savior, that can be settled today. You can get saved. You can trust in Christ as your Savior. But once we're saved, once we have trusted in Christ, the believer has a changed life. And the believer is instantly given a new standing before God. You see, it happens instantaneously. There's no delay. There's no waiting period. But instantly, God changes us and gives us a new standing before Him. And so we immediately receive the benefits of being in God's family. Immediately receive the benefits of being saved. Now the Bible, you read through the Bible never indicates a waiting period before God bestows the blessings of salvation upon His children. There's no waiting period. You know, there are some companies this morning, and perhaps a lot of companies, that will hire what they call temporary workers. And they'll usually do this through an outside agency and hire a temporary worker. And in some cases, it's just because they are not looking to bring someone on full-time with the company. But in some cases, it's to observe them before they actually hire them, to make sure that's the individual they'd like to have working for them, to make sure that they do things right, they show up on time, and so forth. Now, the length of time is different with each company, but the intention is the same. It's a process. It's a procedure just to see how that worker fits. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I tell you, if I owned a company, I'd probably do the same thing. I want to make sure I know who's working for me. But when we come to God, the relationship between God and the believer, it's different. We are adopted the moment that we are born again. Instantly, we are brought into God's family. There's no waiting period. There's not a 30-day period where God has to look upon us and say, well, I want to make sure that I save the right person. You're here this morning, you're saved. As soon as the moment you were saved, you were brought into God's family. The moment you were saved, you belonged to God. Never to be set aside. Never to be cast away again. Never to live without God's presence. Have you ever thought about that? That's one of the greatest blessings that God has given us. Once we're saved, we live with Him forever. He'll never depart from us. He'll never set us aside. And He'll never remove Himself from us. That's one of the riches of God's grace. We're adopted. We belong to Him. So today, if you are saved, you have been adopted into God's family. And you belong to Him. Let's go back to our text. And we see in verse 14 of Romans 8, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We've been adopted into God's family. We belong to Him. Now, verse 15, I want us to see our second thought here this morning. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This morning, I want you to notice that we are adopted and set free. Adopted and set free. You see, we're set free by God so that we can live unto Him. That's why we're set free. Believers are no longer in bondage. You're saved here this morning, you're no longer in bondage to sin. Now, we may make mistakes, and if we sin, it's because we went back into it. We did it ourselves. But we're no longer in bondage. When we stand before God, it's not so that way we can be punished, it's so that way we're going to be received into heaven. You think about bondage or slavery, just that word bondage. I tell you, it's a depressing word when you think about it, bondage. Those that are in bondage, really, they have right to fear. Because bondage produces fear. It produces alarm. It produces anxiety. Because someone who is in bondage basically is into forced submission. Do this or do that. Now we think, of course, of physical bondage, someone who's a slave. I mean, they have no life of their own. They have to do whoever controls them. They have to do that. As far as the spiritual application here, though, think on this. The Bible says we've been set free from the bondage. Free from, of course, from sin. But also free from the ceremonies and the rituals of the laws we'll talk about here in a minute, so that we can live unto God. And we can be free to do what God wants us to do. You see, the believer has been graciously given the spirit of adoption. To be treated as a child and not a stranger. You see, children, you think about children that are in a proper relationship with their parents. Children are free, for the most part, happy and confident. Some of you this morning, you think back to your childhood. I don't know about you, but I didn't think about bills. I didn't think about making payments. I always wondered, well, my dad's got a checkbook. He's got everything. Just need to ask him. Now I look back, I know what. No, he didn't have everything. You see, as children, we're free to have a relationship with our parents. And for the most part, children are happy and they're confident. Children serve out of love, also in gratitude. I think as we get older, when we get into the world and the effects of the world, that's when problems can begin to come in. But you often see children will often love their parents. They'll just love them. That's their parents. They'll love them. Even as we get older, we'll love our parents because that's our parents. We just love them out of gratitude for perhaps what they've done, for how much they care for us. When we think about our relationship with God, that's the type of relationship we now have with God. It's no longer a servant or I guess you say, to a master. Instead, it's a child to a father. And we've been set free from that bondage so we can now live unto God. And we can live without fear, I guess you say, or without any kind of anxiety, believing God's going to come down upon us. Now, that's one thing I do want to warn you concerning. You know, it's easy. I think our flesh, so to speak, it's easy to fall into the thinking that, you know, I got to do this or else God's going to be mad at me. God's going to come down and get me. You know, this morning, I believe God has already displayed His love for you. I mean, He sent His Son to die on the cross. And if He has saved your soul, if you've trusted in Him as your Savior, He has already given you His blessings. He's already shown you how much He loves and cares for you. I think more than anything else, now it's just a matter of just walking with God, abiding with Him, and not fearing Him, but understanding that He's a loving and forgiving God who wants to guide and direct our lives. You see, we're set free from servitude so we can be a child of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians 4. Paul touches on this a little bit here in Galatians. And as you're turning there, I'm going to give you just a quick, I guess you'd say not update, but just a quick rundown of what is happening in this book of Galatians. The book of Galatians was written to believers who struggled with works. You'll find what had happened is the believers there in Galatia had started going back to the old ways. It's believed that they were Jewish people, but what happened is they went back to the old ways, the rituals and the ceremonies, and they put themselves back underneath the law. And so Paul addressed that in this entire book. He addresses living by faith and trusting in God and living unto the Lord. And then here in chapter 4, what we find is he gives an illustration of the relationship that we have with God as far as believers. Verse 1 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The adoption of sons. What we find in this passage is Paul used the illustration here of the relationship between basically a wealthy man or a man in that time and his son, an heir. This morning, you have parents and they're going to leave you something. Maybe they'll leave you something you don't want. That happens sometimes. But that's the inheritance you may have. What we have here is Paul makes a comparison to God's children and their relationship with God. Now, as far as we're going to transport it back a little bit to the time that this was written here, to the Galatians, but heirs were very similar when they were children. They were similar to servants, but they weren't servants. Did you catch me there? What I mean by that is they were raised in school. They had to go to classes. They had all these chores they had to do. Sometimes no different than today, but they were not servants of the house. They were heirs. Eventually they would inherit all that the master had and they would own everything that the master had to give. But until then, they were under a form of bondage. What I mean by that is their freedom was limited. As he mentions there, they had tutors and governors. Basically they had to go to school. They had to be trained. They had to be taught accordingly. And these tutors and governors, from my understanding, would also defend them when they needed it or direct them if they were in trouble. And even though they were heirs, they were limited. They didn't have the full rights of being an heir, but they possessed it. It was coming. It was theirs, but they were required to wait for it. And that's even something that we can understand today. You know, there are people that have perhaps a large estate and they're going to leave it to their children, but until they do, it's not theirs. I mean, it's promised to them, but they don't get to enjoy it until it's time. Anyway, that's what we have here. And even though they were limited, they still had that promise coming to them. So, what we find back in time, I guess you say, when this was written, basically what would happen is when the father deemed it best, from my understanding it was anywhere in their teens to their 20s, just depending on each situation, what would happen is the father would come and pretty much the child would then receive their inheritance. And they would be brought up and they would join or work alongside the dad, and they would be the master, and they would be the one in charge of the household. They would oversee things, and they would pretty much enjoy the full inheritance that they had coming. But until then, they had to wait. Now, this is important, because what had happened in the book of Galatia, all these Galatians had put themselves back under the law. And you know what Paul is telling them here? He's saying, guess what? You don't need to do that anymore, because Jesus Christ has come. He has died on that cross. He has, because of His death, His burial, and His resurrection, not only can you be saved, but He is now the high priest, and we can go to God the Father through Him. You no longer need to go back through your rituals, your ceremonies, or go to a priest, or go through a man to get to God. You can now go through Jesus Christ. And so, what we find in this passage is basically the teaching that the inheritance is now ours as far as believers. Now keep in mind, the Old Testament saints were saved by grace and through faith. There are some who tell you, well, they were saved by works. I don't find that in the Scriptures. They were saved by grace and through faith. But you know what it was? They didn't understand or they didn't receive all the benefits that we have today. Think about that for a minute. I mean, Jesus Christ was coming, but He had yet to come. But because we're on the other side of His death, burial, and resurrection, we enjoy those benefits. They're saved just like we're... I mean, they were saved the same way we're saved, but we enjoy the fact that we can go to God the Father through Jesus Christ. The fact that we don't have to do those yearly sacrifices that they had to offer up to God because Jesus Christ offered the final sacrifice. And so we have received all those blessings that come with salvation. We receive them immediately. They had to wait upon those things is what the Bible is teaching. So today, if you are saved here this morning, you receive those blessings immediately. You immediately have a new relationship with God. You immediately have freedom to live with God. You don't have to wait. You immediately receive responsibility to live correctly before God. We are responsible still. We can't just do what we want. We're responsible before God. And we immediately receive the power or the ability to live with God by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So once we're saved, I guess you could say we stand before God spiritually as a mature adult. When you go back to the illustration that Paul had the illustration of the heir who was in bondage or under control until the appointed time where the Father allowed them to stand complete before Him. That's where we are today. We're saved. If you're here this morning, you're saved. You trusted in Christ as your Savior. You stand before God complete. And you have abilities. God has blessed you with all these freedoms that you can have simply by serving God or simply because you're saved. Now, you go to 1 Corinthians 3. We're not going to turn there this morning, but you can write this down. There's a passage that talks about maturity with believers. But keep in mind, when you read that passage, it's talking about sin in someone's life and being carnal is what it's talking about. It's not talking about length of years. You see, this morning, there are some here today, I believe, that have probably been saved for 10 years, maybe some for 20 years, 30, 40, 50. I'll stop there so I don't get in trouble. There have been some that are here that have been saved for many years. Then we probably have some that have been saved for maybe a year, 2 years. Do you realize the blessings that God has for those that are saved are equal to both? Someone who's just saved perhaps last week has all of the same benefits and blessings of salvation as someone that's been saved for 30, 40 years. You see, God does not give those by merit. God does not give those by our standing or as far as our work or by length of time. You see, God gives us the spirit of adoption immediately. And so we can stand before God complete and really benefit from the blessing that He's given. You see, the believer's in full possession of all that God gives. So today, if you're saved, you've been adopted. And you've been set free. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for a week or if you've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years. Now, of course, we need to live separate from sin. I think if we look back at our life and we're honest, the reason why we struggle is because we made some bad decisions. We went back and got ourselves tangled again with sin. But you see, God has set us free and so we can live unto Him. Now, to go back to our text, I'll give you the third and final thought here this morning. Romans chapter 8. It says there, verse 14, we talked about the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." So we have no more fear. We shouldn't have any fear because God has settled that. We have the spirit of adoption. We belong to Him. Finally, it says there, "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We are adopted into a new relationship with God. You see, before Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, and arose again. You go back into the Old Testament and they were saved, they belonged to God, but their relationship was a little bit different. They didn't have free access to God. They couldn't go to God and pray to Him anytime, day or night. They had to offer the sacrifices at a certain time, and those sacrifices had to be offered in the appropriate way. And so they had to wait and approach God in those directions. Now, yes, they did have some freedoms and they did have some liberties, but for the most part, things were regulated. But when Jesus Christ came and He fulfilled the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that He became the high priest according to the book of Hebrews. He now stands before man and God, and now we go to Him Or we go to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we have a new relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. It's a special relationship. As the Bible says here, we're able to cry, Abba, Father. Now that word Abba is from the, I guess, the Chaldee origin. I mispronounced that. And basically it's a term of affection. Perhaps there are some here who have a term of affection for their dad. Some say daddy, some say dad. Whatever it is, it's a word you use because you love them. And sometimes we have a word for our mom. Same thing. You see, what the Bible is telling us is that this new relationship with God is a close relationship with God that we now have. You see, God is no longer an enemy, but an ally. You're here this morning, you're no longer against God. Before you're saved, the Bible says that we are against God. But once you're saved, you're with God. And so God is no longer an enemy, God's an ally. We're with God. And who greater is there on earth is there to be with than God, the creator of this world? And so we're with God. Also, you think about this, God is no longer a stranger, but a parent. You know, it's difficult to ask things of strangers. Sometimes it's difficult to ask things of anybody. But you know, with a stranger, we're kind of, be careful what you ask. But a parent, when you have a good relationship between a son and their dad, or a daughter and their dad or mom, then they're able to ask things. Maybe seek some counsel, seek some advice. That's the relationship we have with God the Father. The relationship of a parent and a child. You see, the whole relationship has changed. And so we're no longer strangers to God. We can approach God. And we can seek Him out. We can cry, Abba, Father, because of our new relationship with God. I guess you say, because our life has changed, and we have all these privileges, we can seek God out. The Spirit, as the Bible says, communes with our spirit. And we now have fellowship with God. So, because we're saved, we have direct access to God. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Now, because we are saved, we can go to God in prayer. That's why we go to God the Father, because we have a new relationship with Him. This morning, you don't have to wait to seek God out. Now, of course, we'll have an invitation. A lot of churches do that. They have a time where people can pray and seek God out. But, you know, if you have a problem in your life, you don't have to wait to get to church to talk to God. You talk to Him right where you find yourself, whether it's at home, even at work. Now, if you're in your car, I encourage you, you might not want to close your eyes. God can still hear you when you talk from your heart. But you see, that's the type of relationship we have with God, that we can go to Him at any time. We have access to God. That's part of being in His family. He's there to listen and to hear us. You know, as a parent, that's part of parenting, is being there for the children. So that they have a concern. Now, of course, we're humans. So we're going to make mistakes. And we might not always be available for our children. But because God is perfect, He's always there for us. We don't ever have to wait for God to hear our prayers. We don't have to be concerned that when we get on our knees, God's going to say, I'm going to have to put you on hold. I've got to deal with this. God will never put us on hold. God is there for us. We have a new relationship with God. Also, I think we have the liberty to seek God out. Now, this is a little bit different. What I mean by that is God has given us the freedom to seek Him out. What that also means is that if we get stubborn, God may allow us to get stubborn and not seek Him out. But we have the liberty to seek God out. First Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You see, God wants us to take our cares to Him. Why? Because He cares for us. You see, it goes back to that new relationship we have. That God wants us to take our cares for Him because He loves us and wants to help us, wants to carry those burdens for us so we don't have to carry them ourselves, wants to answer our prayers, wants to guide us and direct us, wants to provide comfort in our time of need. But you see, we have that liberty to go to God. I guess you say that can also, if we get stubborn, allow our pride to set in, then we can also be prevented from going to God because of our own selfishness if we're not careful. So let's make sure we go to God. You know, I think about parents and their children. If a parent is not talking to their child, and that happens, that happens. It's sad to say, but it does. And if a parent is not talking to their children, I think we can all, we might not know what's going on, but we can assume something's wrong. It's not none of our business, so to speak, but there's something wrong with that relationship. Let's bring that into the spiritual. If one of God's children is not talking to Him, something's wrong. And you can be sure it's not with God. So if we're not having an active prayer life and seeking God out in prayer, something's wrong, and I guess it falls upon us to get it right. Whether it's pride, selfishness, and sometimes it's just not taking the time to talk with God. I guess that falls under selfishness. Doing what we want or hurrying up instead of slowing down to seek God out in prayer. So let's develop a prayer life. It's a blessing that God has given us by bringing us into His family that we can talk to Him and we can converse to Him and seek Him out in prayer. You see, the Spirit provides power to live. It talks about the Spirit here. In verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it confirms our new relationship with God. He does. And He also guides and directs the believer. You know, this morning, today, if you are saved, you've been adopted into a new relationship with God. It's a different relationship than people have had in the past. It's a different relationship than what lost people have with God. It's a new relationship where you can seek God out in prayer and you can put your trust in the Lord. You know, this morning, when you think about adoption, as far as the Bible teaches, it's one of the riches of God's grace. It's something given to the believer the moment they are saved. I mean, it's instantaneously. It happens right away. The moment you're saved, you're brought into God's family. And that means you're brought into God's care, is what that means. God now cares for you as far as overseeing all things, watching out, guiding and directing. Also, you're adopted to set free. So now you can now live with God. See, before when you were lost, there was that problem of sin that prevented you from living with God. But now that you're saved, you've trusted in Christ, you can now live with God. You've been set free. Where you got, you know, the Holy Spirit resides in you and you can abide with Christ. And then also we see that you've been adopted into a new relationship. Not only can you seek God out, but you have His power to do what God would want you to do. You know, adoption, like all of the riches of God's grace, this year we're going to hit every one of them, or not every one, but 12 of them. Like all of the other riches of God's grace, they're based upon God's Word. That's where we find it. They're not based upon our feelings. You see, this morning, many people struggle with feelings. They say, well, I don't feel like I'm saved, or I don't feel like this. You know, there are going to be mornings we wake up. Tomorrow morning, you may not like feel like going to work, but you're probably still going to have your job, and you just need to get up and go. You see, if everything was based upon our feelings, then our feelings change based upon our circumstances or situations we find ourselves. And so salvation and all that God has given to us are not based upon feelings, but based upon God Himself. I'll give you an illustration. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, after a service, years back, after a service, he was leaving or fellowshipping with several people, and a man came up to him. They began to talk, and he said, Mr. Moody, he said, I've been saved. I believe I've been saved for years and been trying to serve God and be faithful. And they said, D.L. Moody looked and said, you believe you've been saved? And he said, well, yes. He said, but I just don't feel saved. Well, D.L. Moody began to talk with him and ask him what he'd done. The man shared with him how he had trusted Christ as his Savior, put his faith in Christ, sought His forgiveness, and he believed in his heart. And afterwards, Mr. Moody said, well, he goes, do you believe you're saved? And the man goes, well, I don't still don't feel that I'm saved. And so D.L. Moody stopped and he thought for a second. Then he said, well, he goes, you know about Noah and the ark, don't you? And the man said, yes. He goes, do you believe Noah was safe in the ark? And the man said, yeah, I do. And D.L. Moody asked him, he said, well, what made him safe? His feelings or the ark? Man thought for a second and he said, you're right. I've been foolish. He said, salvation is in Jesus Christ, not my feelings. Now this morning, salvation is in Jesus Christ, not our feelings. Now, salvation may produce feelings. You know, once you're saved, there are some people that get emotional after they're saved. It can produce feelings, but it's not in our feelings. Make sure that you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. Now, adoption is a blessing to those that have trusted in Christ as their Savior. You know, as we look back at this message real quick, as we conclude this, if there's someone here that has never placed their faith in Christ and they're without salvation, what I have covered this morning is not for you. And I don't say that in a mean or hateful way. Adoption is for those that belong to Christ. Now, it can be yours simply by trusting in Christ as your Savior. But adoption or the teaching here is for those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And if there is one without Christ, I guess you could say, then you're without one of the greatest blessings that God has for His creation. And that's the Spirit of adoption. Dear Lord, we come to You at this time. Thank You for the blessings You've given to us. I pray this morning, if You've worked in anyone's heart here today, I just pray they get things settled with You. Thank You for saving my soul and for saving those here this morning that are saved. And I, I thank you for bringing us into your family, caring for us, watching out for us, guiding us, directing us, comforting us, and being there for us in our times of need. I pray that you guide and direct us in this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have you keep every head bowed, your eyes closed for just a few minutes this morning. This is just a short time of invitation. If God has worked upon your heart here this morning, I just encourage you to get things settled with Him. It's nobody else's business but yours. These altars here are open. If you need to seek God out in prayer and you want to come down here and pray, you're more than welcome to. Or if you want to pray right where you are, I encourage you to get things settled with the Lord. Now, perhaps there's someone here that is unsure of their salvation, and maybe you have some questions. If that's the case, you're welcome to come down this morning. And myself or someone can take the Word of God and we can answer some of the questions that you might have concerning salvation and show you what the Bible teaches concerning salvation and seeking God's forgiveness. If you're here this morning and not sure of your salvation, but you know what you need to do, then I encourage you to get that settled with God right now.